Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. As you're going through that, if you don't have notes, raise your hand. We can get some notes to you. We're looking. There are a couple hands up, and Doug is going to make his right. A couple on this side, a couple on the back, and they're going to get notes out to you. I appreciate that. As the notes are going around and you're looking in John chapter 14, I want to talk to you about a comic strip I saw, a Peanuts one. You know, Charlie Brown and Lucy and all the fun. Well, the Peanuts one, we have Lucy and Linus. And they were sitting in front of a television set watching TV when Lucy looks at Linus and says, "Get me a glass of water." And Linus looks at Lucy and says, "Why should I? You've never done anything for me, so why should I do something for you?" And Lucy thinks about it for a while and then says, "Well, I will bake you a cake on your 75th birthday." And Linus gets up and starts heading to the kitchen and says, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." And that is true. When we have something to look forward to, it makes life a lot easier. I'm thinking about Megan, my daughter, who is in her freshman year of college, and dropping her off at the end of August was difficult. But I knew she'd be coming back in December. It was difficult, but I had something to look forward to when she came. And we had the tickets. We were all set for her to come back. And that day she came back, there was a delay. And surprisingly enough, in December, the weather delay was in Las Vegas. Nowhere else, as it was raining, and she was delayed for many hours. And it happened to be the day she was coming back, we were having our dress rehearsal for our Christmas program. And so I wasn't able to meet her at the airport. It just made more of an anticipation for her to come as she walked in the doors, and I was able to see her at the end of our practice. It was something to look forward to, and I love having something to look forward to, and I have that again when she comes back in just a few months. Here's the sad thing. If we look into our notes, the sad thing is many people today, however, feel like they have absolutely nothing to look forward to in life. Isn't that sad? They have absolutely nothing to look forward to in life. They just have work. Unless you enjoy your job, that's wonderful. If you enjoy your boss, we'll leave it at that. But if you enjoy your work, I remember my brother would talk to me about our jobs years ago, I'm not talking here, years past, and he would say to me, "You know, isn't it just like you're swimming and you're in this big ocean and you're swimming and you're trying to get to an island, and that island is your weekend, or the island is a vacation, and you're just swimming and getting to that, and you're like, oh, I made it, and then you're back in the water again and you're going through it." And you think about it, that's a rough life. If you don't enjoy every day that you have, that's rough. I live for my weekends, or I live for my vacation, but there are many people that really have nothing to look forward to in their life. Most people feel like they get nothing out of life. They have nothing out of life. As far as the world goes, that could be true. The world really doesn't offer a person much. And that's a sad thing. But we see when we look in John, in chapter 14, when we look at this verse, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Right away, the first things you read, you already feel this peace come upon you. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a wonderful peace and comfort that is, that where he is, we will be there also. And do not have a trouble. Do not have a trouble in your mind. That's a wonderful peace. But there are a lot of people today that do not have that. They have nothing to look forward to. In fact, in our notes, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Basically, there are three world goals, and that are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if a person ever succeeds in acquiring these to any degree, they will find they do not satisfy. They leave people empty, they leave them helpless, and they leave them hopeless. And this is what we have right now in our society right now. And before you were saved, that's our whole set we've been in. We were helpless, we were hopeless, we had nothing going for us at all until we got saved. But as an authentic Christian, we have to understand the fact that we have hope. And our hope isn't in ourselves. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. That's the whole goal that we have to look at. See, it's not just, you know, it's not just from what I'm saying. All you got to do is look at TV. In this last year, if you think about what you've seen in TV, people that they look up to, people that they admire, people will look up to movie stars and say, boy, look at them. They got it made. They look at rock stars and go, oh, they're so rich. They get to be on TV. They get to go all around the world. And isn't it sad, in just this last year, I can name, as I thought about it, over and over of people that have gotten divorced, been involved in drugs, people that have gone to jail, people that have died from drug overdose, people that have committed suicide. But these are rich people. They got everything they need. But you know what? Here's the sad thing about them. They were empty, they were helpless, and they were hopeless. That's how they were living their life on the inside. On the outside, boy, it looked so good. Everyone looked at them and go, look at them. They had everything they needed. Oh, they got everything at their fingertips. They could do anything they wanted. But they weren't. They were empty. And the thing is, we can relate to that before we were saved. But you know what? That shouldn't be us now. See, do you have hope in your life from Jesus Christ? Do you have hope? Do you have hope right now that Jesus Christ can work in your marriage? Do you have hope that he loves you? Do you have hope that he even likes you? Do you have hope that he wants to do a work in your life? Do you have that hope? Because as an authentic Christian, we need to have that hope because we're the example, we're the ambassadors now to a dying world that is hopeless, empty, has nothing going. We can give them hope, not of ourselves, but an almighty God. That's what we can give as an authentic Christian. So Christ is our hope in this life and next. Tonight I want to take time to talk about hope. Christ is our hope of eternal life. Christ is our hope and help in life, and Christ is our hope and rest in life. We're just going to take a look in a little more detail how that can be. How can that happen? Let's take a look. One is, what is hope? What is hope? Number one, here's a dictionary definition. A desire for a certain thing to happen. Now, an example of that would be this. My wife and I went to Europe some years ago. We loved it. We'd love to go back to Europe. So what? I hope that we would be able to go back to Europe one day. What is that? I desire that. I'd like to go back. I have a hope. You know? I hope that I don't get the flu again this year. I hope. You know, I'm not sure, but I hope. Do you hear what that sounds like? Well, I'm not sure, but I hope. You know, I you know what? I'd like going to Europe. I hope. Do you hear what that sounds like? I hope. That's the dictionary version of hope. You kind of get that little whine in you. I hope. But here's something very interesting, though. The Greek word for hope, biblically, is called elpis. And that is to expect with confidence a trust. To expect with confidence trust. That's the hope in the Bible. But you know what? We live our lives like number one from the dictionary. We have a tendency to kind of hope like this as a Christian. Well, yeah, I hope God will do something. Well, yeah, I hope God really cares for me. Well, I hope. And that's what we kind of sound like. Well, I hope. But you know what? That hope is what the world sounds like, but not an authentic Christian should be. Can I tell you what? Let me tell you. This is what's going on, is the fact that Satan wants to rob the most precious thing that he's given to us. When we got saved, he gave us hope. And that hope is not a hope, but it's a hope of confidence. It's a hope of trust. It's a hope to stand up that he's in control, he cares for me, and he wants what's best for me, and he's going to do what he's going to necessarily have to do with my life. And I believe that, because I believe in God. And that's what you have to have. You have to have that trust. But we lack confidence. And as an authentic Christian, we got to be aware of that fact. We have to look at this and say, you know what? I just don't have the confidence I should have. And tonight, I want to just take a look at three quick areas about where do we stand? Are we number one or are we number two? Because that's going to set you apart now as are you an authentic Christian or not? Because tonight, it's not like, well, as we finish off our hope part of this series of an authentic Christian is the fact that, do we have that hope? It's so crucial in our lives, and Satan wants to strip that from us. He wants us to be, woe is me, looking down, and not have the confidence to go out and do what we need to do. And we just got to stand up and say, forget that. God, I'm relying on you, because I have hope in you. And I have hope what you're going to do. So let's take a look at three quick things. Number one, the first thing is Christ is our hope for eternal life. Again, he is our hope. He's our confidence. I have trust of eternal life. Many people, they'll wonder if they'll ever make it to heaven. They just wonder, am I ever going to make it to heaven? You know, I've made mistakes. I mean, I believe in heaven, but I've made mistakes. So I don't know. I don't know why I'd be able to go to heaven. I just don't know if I have that. That's one thing I really love about the fact that we have these tracts. And the whole theme of our church is you can know you're going to heaven. You know, you can know. There's hope right here. There's hope, number two. There's hope that you're going to heaven. But it's not like, well, I don't know. But we'll get that from people. Well, I don't know. That should not be from an authentic Christian. No, I know. If you're saved, I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. Everybody has problems. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody sins. That's the reason Jesus Christ went to the cross. That's the whole reason why he did that. Romans, in our notes, chapter 15, verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles what? Trust. So what's the text talking about? Jesus Christ, our hope is in him. It sure isn't in us. Our hope is in him, not anything we can do. Now, this is a true story, quote from Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway said at one time, life is just a dirty trick, a short journey from nothingness to nothingness. There is no remedy for anything in life. Man's destiny in the universe is like a colony of ants on a burning log. Boy, that's someone that I think is empty, helpless, and hopeless. Would you agree? And then he took his own life. He took his own life. He did not have hope. He didn't have hope. Yet on the other side, there's another story of somebody that some of you might know, an older actor, Steve McQueen. Actor in the 60s and 70s, tough guy in the movies, had a tough life, had some failed marriages, involved in alcoholism, had some struggling times. And he knew it too. And in his time of despair, he attended a crusade by one of Billy Graham's associates. And he had a profession of faith at that time. But he wanted to meet Billy Graham. And he had that opportunity to meet with him in his limousine. And there's Steve McQueen. And there's Billy Graham, and Billy Graham started to share with him about just the peace you could have in being saved And Steve McQueen struggled about how can I have a peace with all my background and all that I've done? I don't understand how I can have a peace. And then he went to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in which it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Wow, that's a powerful verse. Again, in hope. What hope? The confidence and trust you have in Jesus Christ to have eternal life. Well, Steve McQueen loved that, and he said, can someone write that down for me? And Billy Graham said, instead, why don't you just take my Bible? Gave him his Bible. Years passed, and Steve McQueen died in Mexico in 1980 at the age of 50 while seeking experimental treatment for terminal cancer. But as he was lying there, he had his Bible opened up to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, where his hope was and where he would spend eternity. That's hope. That's a hope that you can hang on to. That's a hope you can grab onto. That's a hope that we all need. And you know what? If you're sitting here and you don't have that hope, you can have that hope. That you can walk out of these doors knowing for sure you're going to heaven. And you'll have that opportunity to be able to do that today. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. It's I hope. No, it's a hope that you know because you have confidence in. That's number one. Number two is Christ is our hope and help in life. Christ is our hope and help in life. In other words, if you want help in your life as a Christian, the only hope you're going to have is in Jesus Christ. If you want any help, it's going to come from Jesus Christ. Now in Hebrews, I got some verses here. Hebrews chapter 14 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my, what? Helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's our helper. He says straight in the scriptures, the Lord is my helper. Hebrews 4, 14, 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He's our help. Do you know in both of those verses, not only is help mentioned in there that he's our help, but there's two other things that are mentioned in there. In the first one, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And then in the other verses, 14 and 16, it says the same thing that in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Listen, if you want to have a hope that we're talking about, that means you're going to have a bold hope. It's going to be bold. It will not be shy. It won't be wimpy, but it's going to be bold. And as an authentic Christian, you need to have a bold hope in your life to be able to get the help that we need. So how does God help us? How does he do it? Well, here's the number one thing that he does to help us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us in time of need. John 14, 15, 18. For he loved me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth me not, neither knoweth me. But ye know me, for he dwelleth with me and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He gave us a comforter. And not only that, he gave us, it says, another comforter. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He is a comforter, and he gave us another one. He gave us the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, what kind of spirit did he give us then? What kind of spirit is it? Well, it says in Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, God helps us by giving us a spirit of power and of love of a sound mind. The power is the fact that now he's given me a spirit of power to be able to do the things that God wants me to do. He's given me that confidence to say, God, I really don't know how to witness, but he's given me a power to do it. God, I really don't know how to handle my spouse. I don't know how to do that, but he's given me a power to be able to do that. God, I don't know how to raise a Christian family, but he's given us power to be able to do that through his spirit he has. He's given us the spirit of love. He's given us the spirit of love because when I'm unlovable, he's given that ability, the fact that I can be loved. He's given me the ability to love, so when someone else is unlovable, I have the ability to love them. Not because of me, but because of the spirit of love to be able to do that from him. Then he gives me a sound mind. And you think, is that a big deal? Well, I'll tell you what. In our society, where in which right is wrong and wrong is right, aren't you glad you have a sound mind? Aren't you able to be able to decipher then what is right biblically and what's not with a sound mind? Because obviously our society does not. Because they have no hope. They're helpless. They're empty. And it's our responsibility to help them to have that hope. But the only way we're going to give them that hope is if we're going to be bold ourselves. Or else we're just a waste then. And the fact that here we are, we have this, but we're not utilizing what we have through the Spirit. But this is what he gives us. Now here's a question. I'm going to throw it out to you. How does the Holy Spirit help us? I just want you to know, I looked it up. And it was so funny. I looked up how, I mean, there are over and over again, a list, 50 things of how the Holy Spirit helps us. How are the things that the Holy Spirit helps us? What are ways? What? Confidence. The Holy Spirit gives us confidence. What else does the Holy Spirit do?
Desire.
What? Desire. The Holy Spirit gives us desire. And the thing is, not just any desire, it most likely gives biblically desire. Okay, what else? Yes? Gives us strength. Gives us strength way in the back. Good. A conscience. Yes. He gives us a conscience. Yes. Thanks for the extra voice on the side. Yes. What?
Discernment.
That's what the sound mind. He gives us discernment. He teaches us.
Direction.
Gives us direction.
Faith.
Gives us what?
Faith.
Do you understand? When we're saying all these, we're listing these off. Do you understand all these things we're listing are helps? These are helps. We're talking about how are we supposed to have hope? Our hope is help. How do we get that help? The Holy Spirit is giving us all of these things. Isn't it wonderful? We get all of these helps that we can use. Now here, I got just 7 ways the Spirit helps us. Again, you listed off, some of them were listed on here. I'm just going to go through these. But here are 7 ways that the Spirit helps us. Number 1, the Spirit teaches us to pray. He teaches us to pray in Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, I don't know how to pray to God. I don't know. And the only way I can pray to God is through a Spirit, because he's a Spirit. The only way that happens is when I'm saved. So I'm saved and I go, God, I don't know what to say. But the Spirit intercedes for me and speaks to God. What a help that is. Because I need to call on him for help. And I don't know the word sometimes what to say. God, I don't know what to say. God, I need your help today. But he knows, and the Spirit intercedes for us. What a wonderful thing. Number 2, the Spirit speaks to us. The Spirit speaks to us. Acts 8:29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So we can see that the Spirit said to Philip. So what? He speaks through his written word. He speaks to us through this. As we read this, he'll speak to us. Help us to understand what we're reading. He speaks to our hearts. And we're going to see that as we go along, how he does that. What a help that is. To be able to read this, and as I'm reading this, I'm going, oh God, this is really, wow, this is a help to me, and I understand. Well, how are we understanding that? It's the Spirit speaking to us and helping us to understand what we're reading as a help, a comfort to us. That's what he's doing. Number 3, the Spirit teaches us and he guides us. He teaches us and guides us. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He will recall things. So number one, he can teach us all things. All things he will teach us. And two, he can bring his word back to you in remembrance when need arises. There are times when you just go, man, and all of a sudden this verse comes to you. It might not be exactly word for word, but this word comes to you, you go, well, it's this and this and this. And you're going, where's that coming from? It's the Holy Spirit working inside of you and saying, here's a verse that can help you through this, here's a verse. Then we see in John 16:13 as guidance. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know what's interesting? He never takes us to an untruth. Think about that. He never takes you to an untruth. An example of an untruth is the fact that he'll never go and say to me, oh, don't witness to that person. That's an untruth. Don't witness that. Don't witness. The Spirit will not say that to me. Don't witness. In fact, I know if I get that voice that says, don't witness, I know where that voice is coming from. And it's not God. And not the Holy Spirit that's saying, don't witness. It's an untruth. If I get angry at my spouse and I get upset, the Spirit's not saying get angry and yell at your spouse. That's an untruth. It will not go against God's word. That's a wonderful help. Number four, the Spirit reproves and corrects us. John 16:8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's there to help us by correcting us when we do wrong. That's what the Spirit does as a help. To steer us in the right direction where we have to go, because he's correcting us. Number five, the Spirit empowers us to be witnesses. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. He empowers us to witness, because there's no way I can witness to people. There's no way I'm able to do that without the Spirit doing that for me. I just got to surrender my life and let the Spirit work in my life. But the power is coming from him, not from me. I just got to be a vessel used of him. Then six, the Spirit brings life and healing to us. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. What are wonderful things when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we have eternal life through that. It's a wonderful thing how we can have eternal life through the Spirit. Then the Spirit encourages us in 7, Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What an encouragement is the fact that we are a child of God. You know, it says the fact that once we're in the Father's hand, there's nothing that can pluck us out of his hand. That's we're in there. We are his, and we are his forever. That's a huge encouragement and a huge help for us in our daily walk in our lives. And we shouldn't be walking around with a woe is me attitude and our head down on the ground and going, oh, woe is me, I hope. No, we got the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives that's working and saying, no, you need to go out and you need to do, because you got the power to be able to do this. You got the abilities through me to be able to do this. Now get up and start doing something, because that's an authentic Christian and not one that's like, well, I don't know. No, then you're just listening to Satan just trying to tear you down, and we can't do that. The Lord is gracious and often provides help for us in life in ways we never thought possible. Now, I know most of you know the fact that a few years ago, I had to go in for thyroid surgery. But you know what I found interesting is how I had to get to that. I'll tell you, it's totally unique in how God worked that whole thing out. Because it wasn't like one day I went, oh, you know what? I got a lump. Or it wasn't like my wife goes, hey, you got a lump on your neck. No, what happened was I was struggling with sinuses, like probably most of you are struggling right now. Amen. With all the different things that are going on right now with allergies and the different things like that. And we struggle with that. So I went to the doctor. And I went to the doctor, went to the doctor, went to the doctor. Until the doctor finally said, you know what? You need to go to a specialist. The specialist was for sinus. And as I'm going looking at that, and he's looking at my nose, he's looking at my throat, he starts checking me out, and he goes, you know what? You've got something there that you need to get checked on. So I need to go, and you need to go get a biopsy and do all this. So I did. And you know what? That one little thing led to another, until they found out the fact that, hey, you have to have surgery. You know what? God, you know, worked all that out, but it wasn't simply, hey, sometimes we don't understand how that all works and how that happens, but I do know this. that he was in total control of that. He worked that whole thing out. And he knew what he was doing with that. And I didn't go, I don't know. But he does. The Lord is our helper in life. And he has to come to my aid. And so many times he's come to my aid in different ways. The Lord has the Lord has a way of blessing us even when we're not aware of it. Listen, I had no idea about any of that. How many times, I'm somewhat of an impatient person. There's times where I go, oh man, it's a traffic jam and I don't know what the problem is or I can't get where I need to. And you know what, I've learned the fact that, you know what, maybe God's just saying, you know what, you just need to be slowing down right now because if you keep going, you'd be in an accident. You know, if you keep going, what you're doing, there'll be a problem in your life. I want to help you get it. And don't be impatient and just go with this. And don't worry, it says, I think it's interesting how it says that God works in mysterious ways, and doesn't he? He's a help to us if we allow that to happen. But here's something we have to understand. When we're talking about helping through the Holy Spirit, this is something we have to understand. We can hinder the Spirit. And I've brought this up in another message, but I think it is so key that we understand this. He can hinder us. He can hinder the Spirit. What? A, grieving the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit. What's that? Doing something he told me not to do in Ephesians 4:30. We can grieve it. Number B, or letter B, we can quench the Spirit. Not doing something he told me to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Now, why is that a big deal? Because here's the thing you got to grab. Authentic Christian, we want to say, listen, I want to have that boldness. I want God's hope. But you know what happens is the fact that he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us, and we just started listing off things in here. And you know what? I could have kept it going. I could have gone and gone and gone, and you could have listed off a whole lot more of the Holy Spirit helps. But you know what? He gives us that free will where we can actually just shove the Holy Spirit down and not use him. We can quench that Holy Spirit. We can resist the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And then we wonder, why is God not helping me? Why am I not getting the help that God should be giving me? It's because we're doing it ourselves. Because why? We're grieving it. We're doing something he told me not to do. We're quenching it, not doing something he told me to do. Just resisting it. And we're going, God, why? And we do it ourselves. And he goes, listen, it's not that hard. The Holy Spirit's here to help, but get this and understand this. And boy, watch God do a wonderful work in our lives. Number two, Christ is our help in life. He is our help in life. Can you say amen to that? He is our help in life. And you get that from his hope. We got hope because of that. Then number three, Christ is our hope and rest in life. He is our hope and rest in life. Man, I want rest. I want comfort. I want that. And the only way I'm going to get that is through Jesus Christ. That's my hope. See, the Lord sees, and he sees us when we do wrong in life, but he is interested in helping us overcome our problems, not make them worse. He wants to overcome those. Now, we can see that in Psalms 130:8 and 10, where it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And it says in the notes, amen. Amen, because he's not giving us what we deserve, because we know what we deserve. He's not giving us this, but you know what? He is slow to wrath, and that's understandable that he's like, that he wants to help us out, but it says the Lord is quick to bring forgiveness and healing in our lives. That's what he wants to give us. He's quick to bring forgiveness and healing. That's a rest in our life. Matthew 11, 28-29, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times I have stressed or worried over something, and I'm pondering over it, and I'm pondering it, and all of a sudden it's like this light bulb comes on. And I really believe this is the Holy Spirit trying to help and saying, excuse me, have you thought about coming to God about it? that's new. And as soon as I start going to God and I start giving it to God, I go, God, you know, it's amazing what a peace I have, because it is true in the fact that he is our Father. And boy, when I start, God, I got a problem. I need you to overcome this problem. I need you to help with this. And I start giving it to God. I get this peace. How many people understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Okay, there's a lot of hands all over the place. Now, here's the thing that's really interesting, and I think a lot of hands would go up with this too, but here's my problem. God, please help with the finances, Lord. I don't know. We're short, and I'm struggling. I got mortgage, and I don't know, Lord. I just don't know what we're going to do. Lord, I just pray that you'd meet the needs, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Okay, God, I gave it to you. Good. Yeah, I gave it to God. Yep, he'll take care of that. Now, maybe if I sold the car and... and if my kids went to work, I could maybe work this out. How many of us, when we give it to God, we take it right back again? Yep. You go, here, God, I give it to you. Ha! I gave it to you, but not really. And we have a habit of saying, God, you can have this, but not really. You kind of want to take it back. And that's our little bit of the struggle of hope or hope. You know what I'm saying? One or two. Do you have hope that he'll take care of you? Do you have hope that he wants what's best for you? He goes, yeah, but he might take us through the fire a little bit. That's okay, because that gives us the hope, for us to have hope. Because sometimes the only way you go hope to hope is to go through the fire a little bit. Because when you go through that, that's when it starts to grow more. That's when somebody said about faith. That's when it starts to grow, as we have that. But we got to give it to him. Because that's when the rest really happens. When we go, here, God, and we take it back, you got rest for about 30 seconds, and then you got it back again, and we can't do that. Psalms 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Wow. Stress in our lives can cause us to lose hope. When we have the stress and we start focusing on the stress, that hope we had starts to diminish and the stress gets larger. The worry gets larger, but the hope starts to fade. And we start taking our focus off of God and his hope, and we start focusing on ourselves and just the problem and the stress that we're in. And just like I did in the last one, let me ask you this. What are examples of stress in a person's life? Ooh, we could go for the rest of time. Stress. What are stress that we're going to have? What?
Debt.
Oh, debt. Yep. What other stress do we have? What are stress that we're going to have in our life? What? Death of a loved one. Health. Stress, health. Ed? Wife? Wife. Spouse. Yeah, raise your hand. Yes. Children. What? Relationships. Do you feel the stress coming on already here? Stress. One of those alone could take a lifetime. Stress. Any others? Way over here, yes. Bills. Stress. One more. Getting a job done. Stress. Okay, I looked on, and here is the top 10 causes of stress. You ready to write them down? Top 10. I'm going to tell you, I went to a couple sites, and it was basically the same ones were on here, and I think some of them were mentioned, but I'll understand. You might go, yep, I understand this one. Yep. Okay, top 10, number one, death of a loved one. Death of a loved one is going to cause a lot of stress. Number two, childhood trauma. Something that happened in your childhood could be a lot of stress. Number three, divorce. Divorce. Four, finances. We heard a lot about money, that finances. Number five, employment. Employment. Number six, poor health. We heard that one, poor health. Number seven, personal relationships. Broad, but I think we can relate to personal relationships. Number eight, chronically ill child. Or we could probably say chronically ill family member can be that. Pregnancy. Sorry, those that are pregnant. Pregnancy can add stress. I can see there's stress on dads too. Stress. Moms aren't going to agree with that, but yeah, there's going to be a little bit. 10. Danger and fear.
Danger and fear. If you have a fear of something, a fear of what's going on, if you have a danger, then that's it. These are the top 10. I went to a couple of them, and I'm not saying this is the end-all list. It's just to get us to think about the fact that, you know what, we go through a lot of stress, and we go through a lot of worry. You know, people ask me about Megan. Let me tell you about that with Megan. And I thought about that. Now, man, she's so protected at Pensacola. She can't leave campus. She can't really do much of anything. You know, and I love that. And you go, do you miss her? Yeah. Do you have any kind of stress or anything because you can't, you know, that you're not there to see her? No, I talk to her all the time. Nowadays, boy, you could just about do anything, you know, other than physically touch her, but I think that's coming. But I'm telling you right now, I could about do anything else. So what is it that if I had a thing about it, it's the fact that as a dad, my responsibility is to protect. And she's so far away that I'm trusting someone else to do something that I really, my hands are off, and I get to give it to God and say, God, you watch out for my daughter. And you know, there's not a day I don't go by where I don't say, God, watch out for Megan. I just give her to God. Say, if she was here right now, would I not do that still? No, I'd still do that. It's a nice, more comfort for me to be here. I could physically, yeah. But you know what? You know what that does? That gives my hope more hope, doesn't it? Amen. It gives me more hope now when I say, God, I can't do this. I have to give this to you. And I give it to you. But if I'm like this, oh, man, God, I don't know. I think I better just bring her home. I don't think I can do this. I don't know. I just don't know. And we worry and we stress and we just don't know what to do. And as an authentic Christian, we think about it and you take a step back and go, well, where's our hope in? In Almighty God? And that's where you have to go back and say, what's our hope? Do we really have hope? Like I said, do you have hope he loves you? Do you have hope he wants to take care of you? Do you have hope that he wants you to have a strong marriage? Do you have that hope? That all boils down to this now. Look at the verses now about this when it talks about stress and how to relieve that. Matthew 6 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet what for your body. What shall you put on? Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? He goes, listen, take no thought of your life. I love you and I'll take care of you. You're my child and I'll do what's best. Isn't that a hard thing as an adult? You think, I got everything under control. I know everything that's going on and I got everything in place and that, wait a minute though, have you thought about what God's going to think about all that? Because if we're a child of God, if you have children, I have children, they have to basically listen to what I'm saying and what I'm doing, what I'm going to be going and all the things in my life. They're coming along with me. They're doing what I want. Don't take any thought, Caleb, my son. Don't think about that. All you got to do is follow me and do what I ask. You'll have no problems then. It's when you stray from me and you want to do what you want to do, we'll have a problem. But if you just do what I ask to do and follow me and do what I'm asking you to do, don't give any thought. Don't think about your food. Don't think about what you're going to wear. Just do what I'm asking as a child to a parent. And God's saying to us as children, just do what I'm asking and don't worry. I'll take care of you because I love you. I love my kids, but they're not going to get everything they want. I know better. God looks at us and we say, hey, I want this and I think I should have this. And God's, no, I know what's best for you. Just do what I'm asking and you'll be fine. Don't give any thought. Don't worry about it. Philippians 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth away understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Don't have to think about it. Do you remember the days when you were a child and you didn't have to think about any of that? And all the stress, like we just talked about this list, when you're a child, you didn't have to worry about any of that. Parents took care of all that and said, hey, parents, you know, I just kind of go, God's saying, what's the difference? We just think we're more than we really are. Hey, if we go to God and say, God, I am nothing. You're everything. And I can't do this without you. And I need your hope to be able to do this. Well, fine, child. Then do what I ask. And don't worry. I got it. And I'll take care of you. It's okay. Everything will be all right. And you know what?
that stress just seems to go away. It just disappears. I love this. I found this. It says, a man decided to reserve one day a week to worry. He made a list of his worries and planned to worry about them on Wednesday. When Wednesday came, he discovered that the worries had disappeared. His problems have been resolved and there was nothing left to worry about. Isn't that true, though? We will worry and stress over something, and then all of a sudden it goes away and goes, I guess I didn't have to worry about it. No, but you wasted a whole lot of time worrying about it. Instead of going, God, I'm just going to give this to you, and I'm going to move on. And I understand. Listen, I understand. Some of this is easier said than done. But see, this is where you have to take that step of faith of hope. See, we can't be caught on, yeah, it's easier said than done. And then that ends up being the excuse, isn't it? That can just roll off. Well, it's easier said than done. No, what you're saying is, that's just an excuse. That's what that is. What you have to say to yourself is, well, no, I have to grow in faith, and I have to have I put a hope in a big God and not on me, and say, God, I have hope that you're going to take care of this, and take that step every time of that. And as that time comes, you take that step, just like with Megan. Listen, I had no idea what that was going to be like until I lived through it. But I'm living through it, and there was a step now. How am I going to handle that? A hope in God? Or I hope she's okay. I mean, what kind of hope am I going to have? But when you go through it, you have to examine where you are in your hope. Because an authentic Christian is going to realize this and say, no, I don't want that kind of hope. I don't want the hope that's out there. I want the hope that's in here. And that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I want to strive for. Let me see. The Lord understands the law and longs to provide comfort, forgiveness, and grace. He longs to give us rest. See, we have hope in our salvation, in our help, and in our rest in life. Now, with all this being said, the truth is when do we really struggle with all this? How do we struggle with the help we get? How do we even struggle with sometimes our salvation? This is tough. I'm going to be honest. This could be tough for some people in here. Not many, maybe, but some might think this. Am I saved? Where is that coming from? Am I saved? Well, you know, if you put your faith and trust in what he did on the cross, and you put your faith and trust in him, you called out on him, you're saved. But why do we go, are we saved? And we doubt a little bit. We wonder, why am I not getting the help? And why is it the fact that, you know, I don't have a peace or a rest and a comfort? Because I think a lot of times we struggle with this when we have unconfessed sin in our life. And we wonder, why don't I have a peace? How can you have a peace? You have unconfessed sin. Why is it the fact that I'm not getting the help I need? Well, you have unconfessed sin. Why would I even doubt that salvation? Because you know, if you're saved. But the reason why you even think that would be because you're going, you know what? Because you've got sin that you just got to get right. But we can be so prideful, we don't give it up. But we live a life that's kind of, oh, and God doesn't want that because that's not authentic Christianity. You need to go, God, I'm confessing this at sin. This is sin, this is sin, this is sin. And we should have that short sin list because we're confessing this daily, if only moments at the moment, to get it right. So why? So we can get the blessings of God. So we can have that hope that we need. But you know what? Sin can hinder all of these things. And Satan can twist that and wonder, why am I not getting hope? And he twists that around and we get so confused with this where he goes, man, it's so easy. Confess that, get the sin out of your life, and every day confess that and move on. And don't let that hinder you from your walk with God. Now, let me end with this where it says, it is said that Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato for 50, Aristotle for 40, and Jesus for only 3 years. Yet the influence of Christ's 3 years ministry far exceeded the impact of the combined 130 years of teachings from these men who are among the greatest philosophers of all history. Jesus painted no pictures, yet some of the finest painters, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, received their inspirations from him. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Milton and scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus composed no music. Still, Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, Bach, Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection in praise to him. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greatest someone who ever lived. History is his history. That's what history is. It's his history. He is the Savior of the world, our hope of eternal life, our help in life, and our rest in life. So we need to believe him, believe in him, and we need to put our hope and trust in him. Can you say amen to that? Let's not be wimpy Christians that have a hope, but we should stand up and have an Almighty God hope that says, I want to do a great work through you and in you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the hope we can have in you. Lord, there's nothing in me that has a hope. I am hopeless, and I'm helpless, and I'm empty without you. But you have filled me with so much, and I'm undeserving of all that you've given me. But I'm thankful for it. Help me to be an ambassador that I should be for you, to be an authentic Christian, to stand up with the bold hope that you've given me. Help me to not let Satan rip apart such a blessing as your hope in my life. Help me to recognize when that happens, that I can stand boldly and proclaim you, not with pride, but humbly, knowing the fact that you want to do a great work in me, and through everyone that's here. And I'm thankful, Father, for all that you do. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.